Good evening. Please rise.
With God, whether you know him or not, whether you got some questions about God or not, but he is at work with you here in this place. And that's why we're gathered here, because we follow where God leads. That's a bit of what we'll be talking about tonight as we celebrate Christmas together and the story of Christmas and how that all, how God put that together over centuries and millennia. Stories upon stories, promises upon promises. And it all starts with his name, the name that he gives to us, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in their field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sings before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. All creation join in praising God the Father, Spirit, Son. Evermore your voice is raising to the eternal three in one. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
What amazes we like to experience that we are seen, heard, and loved by God. And that's our prayer for your experience here with us tonight. That you know, that you get a sense that you are seen by God, heard by Him, and loved by Him. And because God makes that known to us, because He communicates that to us, He's opened up us, He's opened up for us a way to communicate back with Him. We call that prayer. I invite you to pray in your hearts with me as I pray out loud. Lord Jesus, today we celebrate the first time you came to earth. Lord, you came as an infant. You came as the one who was promised, the one who would do, the only one who could do everything that we could not. Lord, through your promises and story and songs and symbols and signs and sights, that we would see that you are here with us, that we would hear your story of love for us, that we would know your love is real right now in this moment and for all the moments to come. This we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Take a moment now, as we call on God's name. It's a name that He has made known to us. We open with that name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are some simple truths that we believe about who God is and what He's done. And that's all summed up in 12 short sentences called the Creed. We call it the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to confess that with us. And if this isn't your creed, if this isn't your statement of faith yet, just invite you to reflect on the words as we confess them together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, we're going to take a moment now at this time to gather gifts and offerings. We gather these offerings. We call it an offering because out of everything that God has given you, He's given us, we give a portion of it back to Him. We offer it back to Him, not because of a person or anything else, but because of God and His mission here. So our gathering hosts will do that. We've got just one announcement really tonight. If you've been a part of Emmaus, or if you've followed anything we've been doing on social media, hopefully you've seen something about glocal, and glocal is a combination of two words, global and local, and that's because God's mission is local, right? Jesus was born in a very specific manger in Bethlehem, so God is involved at specific places at specific times, and no more is that true than here and now tonight, but His love is not just pinpointed, it's also worldwide, it's global. And so there are things we've been aiming for locally regionally and globally. And so we've had some targets for that I can share with you now. Thankfully, between you and our partners over at University Lutheran Chapel, we have hit and exceeded Warm Our Own House Community, collecting 100 items of warm clothing, 40 towels, 140 bus passes. So we have met that goal. Let's praise God for that, right? Let's praise God for that. As far as our other goals for support urban youth ministry in St. Louis and making Jesus' name known in Germany, at last count, we're about 26% of our goal. And I got to tell you, I'm grateful for that. As a new church, as a small church, as our first time going through this, I was not sure what would be an overshot, what would be an undershot. So we set a goal, and even if we fall short, we're gonna fall something. We're gonna have something to send to our partners in St. Louis and to our partners in Germany, doing God's work in both of those places. So thank you for anything you've been able to contribute for that. I also know for some of you, this is part of your mission giving. You maybe you're coming from another church and your main giving is there, and so any giving you give here is over and above that, and thank you so much for that, for being a part of God's mission to see, hear, and love people right here and around the world. So that's going to do it for announcements tonight. There are more things you can check out on the back of the bulletin. You can also, if you scan that first QR code, that'll take you to our digital check-in sheet that gives you an opportunity to share with us a little bit more about you. If you'd like me to meet you for a cup of coffee or another beverage or a meal sometime, I'd love to do that. If you're ever down here, if you're not from here, or if you are from here, we can make that happen. And just as importantly, if there's anything we can be praying about for you, we'd love the opportunity to do that. Just check out that digital connect card and let us know how we can see, hear, and love you in ways that you'll receive. So thank you all for making this a Merry Christmas for a lot of people in Ann Arbor and for a lot of people around the world. Let's continue on with... There we go. Going to get my notes again with our first reading tonight. So we're going to do a series of four readings and four short messages, and followed by a hymn. And so my hope is that you get a sense of the promises God has made, how he fulfills them, who they're for, and what that means for you here tonight. So our first reading tonight is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. And so this is Isaiah, a prophet of God in the Old Testament, about 200 years or so before he took his people into exile. But he was giving them promises, giving them signs of his promise. And this is one of them. This is early on. And again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. He's a king of Israel. He says, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, God said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord. So as we end each reading, if you've been coming here for a while, our habit is to respond with, "Thanks be to God." So if you do that, great. And if you don't, great. So it's a response that's there for you if that's helpful. As we think about what we just read from Isaiah 7, we hear about this guy named Ahaz. Now, this isn't in what we just read, but I'm going to give you a quick history, all right? Real, real quick, like a sentence. Ahaz is a terrible, terrible king. And he's really an awful human being, too, quite honestly, if you read anything about him. So why would God talk to a terrible king and one of the worst human beings? Why would God do that? It has nothing to do with Ahaz himself, nothing to do with how terrible he is or how good he is, his track record as king, or as anything else. It has everything to do with the heart of God, with God's heart. So, and this is what is at the heart of God: mercy, grace, and faithfulness. Mercy on the people who Ahaz leads. And that by God's mercy, not only will he change the heart of a king, but he'll change the hearts of the city. He'll change the hearts of the country. Grace. Grace for Ahaz himself, who should know better, but his heart is continually turned away or turned against God. God continues to show Ahaz grace because he is one of God's people, one of the people God chose. And he keeps choosing his people over and over and over and over again. And it's to these people he displays his heart. God gives this terrible human mercy and grace when he does not deserve it. Why does God do that? Because he is faithful. God is faithful. God promised David he would always have a son who sits on the throne. So no matter how many terrible people you encounter in the world, maybe it's just that terrible person looking back at you in the mirror, God made this promise to his chosen king, to his chosen people, to them at that time, and to you at this time. God makes his promises known, and he keeps his promises because he is faithful. God's grace, God's mercy, his faithfulness are for you.
Our weakness. us at length, we pray. To the bright courts of heaven and to the endless day.
A reading tonight from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. All right. So the glory of God's love provides everything you lack. Now, Matthew didn't really go into it here, but we know from other accounts where Jesus was born, right? In a stable, a barn or a cave, a place for animals, not for babies, not for human babies, typically, and certainly not for a king. Absolutely not where God, who decides to come as a baby, not in the form of a baby, as a literal infant. He deserves better than that. And yet, that's where he comes into the world. The story of Jesus includes the story of Mary and the story of Joseph. Now, we could just say the story of Mary and Joseph, but there are two parts to this story. Right? Both of them experienced an angel visiting them. Mary had questions. Joseph had a plan. Mary wanted to know how this is all going to be. Joseph didn't see a way to come through this, and both of them have respect. He knew people were going to be talking. So in his eyes, the right thing to do was divorce her quietly, not draw attention to it, not shame her any more than she was already going to experience, but end it. Both of them had uncertainty. Both of them had fear. And yet even before all this, God had already given both of them faith. So when the angel delivered the words of God to them, they believed. They believed. They moved forward in faith, but also fear was still there as a part of it. Uncertainty was a part of it, right? Living in faith and by faith does not mean the absence of fear and uncertainty. As many of you well know, living by faith does mean you believe the word of God when you hear it, and you follow where he leads you. Do Mary and Joseph believe and move forward in faith perfectly? No. Did they always understand what God was up to and how it would all work out? No way. But they still move forward in faith, not having all of their questions answered, not knowing how all it was all going to work out, but trusting God's promise that it would. faith and struggle, struggle and faith. This is why we have Christmas. God, without explanation, loves humans. God, without explanation, loves you. And he, just as he came to redeem sinners, even his own parents, he comes to redeem you. In struggle and faith, with hope and love for them and for you.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch a keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him up, the babe, the Son of Man. Such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding, good Christians fear for sinners, hear the silent word is pleading. Shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come present King to own him. A King salvation bring, let loving hearts song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Next reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You're catching on. Good job. Next Christmas, we'll actually have that slide up for everybody to read. But as we read about and as we hear, we just heard in Luke 2. So Luke is a doctor. He's writing a story for people to read. And he spent all of Luke chapter 1 explaining the kind of the preamble, the lead up. What was going on with Mary? Why did she have a kid when she was just betrothed? Back in those days, that rarely happened. And if it did, it was not good. But what God was doing in her, Luke tells us, is a good thing. It's the best thing, right? We had Matthew informed Joseph about that. The glory of God's love, though, kindles light and warmth in dark places. This is what Jesus was born into. Creation's inability to recognize its creator. It was so broken, it didn't recognize the moment when he was among it, when he was among them. Hospitality was pushed beyond its limit. Right? This couple, the only place they could find, not just to sleep, that was quasi maybe comfortable, but not only that, but also to deliver this baby, and not just any baby, was the place where animals eat and probably other stuff. Hospitality was pushed to its limit. There's an oppressive rule of a foreign power. There's the faltering or misguided faith of the keepers of this word. Everybody at that time, at least in Jerusalem, who should have known better but didn't. These are the conditions into which Jesus was born. God knew. This is no surprise to God. God knew humanity couldn't handle his messages, let alone his arrival. And though his reception may have been as cold as a bitter Michigan winter, not this winter, mind you, right, a bitter one, and especially because people's hearts had lost, and the people themselves had lost their way and grown cold, Jesus comes to redeem their lost hearts. Jesus comes to rekindle compassion for others in our hearts, in your hearts. This is the work and wonder of God through time, especially at Christmas. He is Emmanuel, right? We hear that word a lot. Many people name their kids that word, but it all comes from this Hebrew word, Emmanuel, which does mean God with us. God is present here with you tonight, just like he promised.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the youth are in. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. Oh, evening stars together proclaim the holy birth. God the King, and peace to men on earth.
Our reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." This is the word of the Lord. Glory of God's love. As night continues, it keeps getting better. From a certain point of view. Because Mary and Joseph and Jesus didn't get upgraded to Bethlehem's finest, right? Their accommodations did not improve. They don't even get medical assistance before, during, or after the delivery. In fact, from this perspective, God actually complicates things, right? I don't know how you feel about how your house looks right now, and maybe you're going to be having people come over to it later tonight or tomorrow. Or you just like a tidy house because, like, knowing it's messy just kind of drives you bonkers. But Mary has no control over the state of that cave or barn or stable or whatever it is. And God's bringing guests, right? Not family or friends, but strangers. This will be their first impression of Mary. And if that is just like kind of making you tingle with anxiety a little bit, I don't know where Mary was at that night, whether this kind of freaked her out. She's like, "Sure, why not? Like, let's bring them all in. Let's go." But the strangers that came were shepherds. And God knew there were hearts present near Bethlehem that would hear, just as he knew all the communities around, there were lots of people that just were indifferent or were antagonistic to this word. He knew there were hearts that needed to hear this. And in all of Jerusalem and all that region, right, he didn't make this known to kings or queens. He didn't let this be known to religious leaders who were holding God's promises, though they didn't really know it. He didn't send them to the elders of Jerusalem or to the prominent men or women or people of influence. He sends the angels to guys working the night shift, right, during the census. And this angel in particular, declares the great news and then is joined by a choir, more and more angels filling the sky, lighting it up, filling it with the praise and worship of God. Can you imagine what that would have felt like if you were a shepherd? Could you imagine what that sky would have looked like, what it would have sounded like, ringing with this sound? It's like you wouldn't want it to stop. It was so amazing, even though it was overwhelming, but you wouldn't want it to end. It was so beautiful. And then it did end, and the angels went away, and the shepherds are still there. But they're different, right? They're changed forever by what they heard. And they're like, "We got to go. We got to go see this thing that God has made known to us." How no one else saw this or heard this I may never know. But one thing I do know. The glory of God comes to people, to the worst and to the least, to lift them up with his love and power. God's glory and love poured out on the world at Jesus' birth is just a glimpse of the foreshadowing of what is going to happen in the days ahead for Jesus, and the next 33 years for Jesus. This is a glimpse of how God is going to pour out his heart to the world, pour out his mercy, pour out his grace, pour out his faithfulness. God's glory and love poured out on the world. For the worst and the least, lifting us up by his best and his brightest, his son, Jesus. God's glory of love shines, transforming night into day, cold into warmth, dead into life. I pray that you see and hear and love the God who sees, hears, and loves you tonight, tomorrow, and all the days to come. Merry Christmas.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all the nations rise, joy the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ, the everlasting Lord, made in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity, pleased as man with to dwell.
Amen, brother.
Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light in life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Sometimes when God's glory shines over us, like it is light, it is light, it is warmth, it's good. And sometimes with all of that goodness, all the good stuff that God brings to you, it causes you to pause and reflect and like, well, who am I that God would give me all these good things? And you're someone he loves. You're someone he sees, someone he hears. Hope you've heard that tonight. And he's also someone that acknowledges sin, right? He doesn't paint over the bad stuff and pretend like it's not there. He sees it just, and even more than you do. But he's made a way for you tonight because Jesus was born and went on to do the rest of the mission. He brings you forgiveness tonight and every night. And so tonight, if you're feeling that the weight of that distance between you and God, he makes a way for you to confess that. In fact, that's what we call it, confession. So take a moment right now in your hearts. Anything that's weighing you down, anything you carried in here with you tonight that is dark or cold, lift that. Confess that to your God who hears you. Wrap up your confession. Wrap up those thoughts, or that prayer you're praying to God. And you're not alone. Because in this room are a bunch of other sinners with heavy hearts that God died for. God died for them. He died for you. He lives again for them and for you. And he invites you to confess. He invites all of us to confess our sins together as individuals, as families, as a community. So I invite you to join your voice and your heart with mine as we confess. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. Whether this is your first time saying this, or you've lost track of how many times you've said this, whether this is something that's rote that you could rattle off from memory and somewhat absentmindedly, or these words are connecting with you deep in your soul, wherever you're at, or you're just not sure what to say, God has a word that he has said to you. Almighty God, in his mercy, has sent his Son, Jesus, to be born for you, to live for you, to die for you, to come back to life for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all your sins, and he sends you people, surrounds you with people in your life to make this known to you. People perhaps you're sitting next to, people outside of these walls, friends and family, pastors. So as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know how many churches celebrate communion tonight. Some do, some don't. We are tonight, this meal that involves bread and wine, and something specific God teaches about that. And for that meal, we gather in a large circle right down here. Our gathering hosts will give you a cue to how to head up here and how to circle up and then how to head back. And if you need wine without alcohol in it, that's available in the center. It's a white wine that has no alcohol in it. Also, if you need gluten-free wafers, those are available too. And most importantly about this meal is what Jesus makes known to us, is that in the bread and the wine, because of Jesus' word, somehow his body and blood are present there with it, in it. And we're not entirely sure how that happens, to be honest. But we know that it does, because just like Mary and Joseph, just like the people that follow Jesus, they may not understand how it all works, but they believe the one who speaks the word. And Jesus has spoken this word to you, for you, that his body and blood are present with the bread and the wine. And because of that, he brings you forgiveness and life and all you need to experience his love this Christmas. If this is something you believe, that's awesome. If you come from a different tradition that teaches a little bit different than this, or you're not sure what this means, or you're not sure about anything about who Jesus is or about this Christian thing yet, but you still want to come forward, man, we'd love if you would. We'd also love it if you just cross your arms over your heart to let us know how we can bless you as you join the circle with us. And if you're not comfortable coming forward tonight, that's okay. It's a warm atmosphere. The pews are comfy. You can reflect on what God is doing in this moment. And we do look forward to the day where we join in this meal all together. Also, after communion, after this meal is over tonight, we'll be lighting candles right away. Our gathering host and I will light the candles first, and then we'll pass them on. So how you light them in ways that don't burn down churches, I've learned. The candle that's lit stays upright. The candle that's not lit is the one you tip, and then you tip it up. All right? Cool. Thank you all for joining this moment, being here tonight, and for being a part of what God is doing. For it was on the night that Jesus was betrayed, fast-forwarding a bit from Christmas, he was gathered with his disciples, including the one who would betray him. And it was in that room on that night that he took bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The candles continue to burn. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. The words are on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now this good word from God, this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and fill you with his peace. Amen. Thank you all for joining Emmaus on our first Christmas together by God's grace. Special thanks to Will Cannon for joining us from all the way a mile and a half across the city. For Gary Coppin, Amanda Lynn, Rob on piano, accordion, and taking care of everything musically for us. Thank you so much, brother. It's great to be in partnership with you. God's peace. Before you go, if you can help us pile up the candles on your way out on that counter in the back. If any of you are able to stay and help us transition, St. Paul owns this church. This is their church. They're kind enough to share it with us. And so anything you can do to help us switch it over quickly as far as music stuff and maybe going out and grabbing some of the signs from outside, that would be great. The sign that is staked to the ground with two green stakes, that stays put. Other than that, thank you so much for being here tonight. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you on New Year's Eve. God bless you all.